case number 10319 AT&T, northwest of Road 490A, southeast of Nanticoke River, a special use exception to erect 180-foot telecommunications tower. Hi, Chancellor. How are you?
Mr. Rickard, how are you?
Fine.
Long time no see.
Yes, I know.
I think we might have a few people to swear in.
Why don't you send them all up at once? Take care of them. Just one by one, give your names and addresses, and then we'll swear you in.
Bill Panic, 240 North Talbot, Roswell, Georgia.
How do you spell your last name?
Panic, P-A-N-E-K.
Okay.
Tom Zolna, 200 North Warner Road, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, 19406.
I thought you were going to retire. No such luck.
Andrew Peterson, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-H-N, 200 North Warner Road, King of Prussia, Pennsylvania.
Hold on. You both all swear from the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Pam Scott. I'm here on behalf of AT&T. We are here in connection with an application for a telecommunications tower that we are proposing to locate on River Road in Seaford. And the purpose for the request is because we have a gap in our coverage in that particular area of the county. You may recall that we were here probably at least 2 years ago for a site not too far away from here, but we feel that we have found a site that accommodates our needs, and therefore asking for a special use exception pursuant to the provisions of Section 194.2 of the Sussex Zoning Code. The property we're talking about is zoned AR1. It is 18 acres in size. Currently contains a house, and the owner of the property is here this evening. And we are proposing to place a 180-foot tall telecommunications tower on the property. We meet all the requirements of the code in terms of the required setbacks, the co-location requirements, the lighting requirements, etc. At this point, I would like to ask Mr. Zolna to come forward to talk briefly about the application.
I've been out there. It's old.
Could you just state your name for the record, please?
Tom Zolna.
And by whom are you employed?
By AT&T.
And what is it that you do for AT&T?
Well, I locate sites where they need to place antennas and towers.
In connection with this particular site, this was a site that you located in order to cover the gap in coverage, is that correct?
Yes, I did.
And I have a copy of the plan in front of us that basically shows River Road and the proposed location of the facility. Could you describe the area around here where the facility is going to be located in terms of the vegetation, et cetera?
Okay, we have a small meadow there in the area off of River Road. Between the site and River Road, there is some trees, things like that. And to the north and to the east and to the west, we have some trees. And we're planning on placing our site slightly in the trees, and then we're also planning on planting some additional trees wherever we can around the site to kind of screen the site from the view of the road, except for the gate where we would need to get in and out.
And the lands immediately to the north of this site?
There's a privately owned parcel, and then to the north of that further is State of Delaware lands.
Okay, thank you very much. Oh, and one other question, in terms of the height of this monopole being 180 feet, will there be any impact in terms of airport approach zones or anything like that? Is that something that AT&T investigated for this site?
Yes, we investigated it. We did what we call a tow air investigation for the tower itself. It showed that it did not encroach in any kind of airport areas. And we also did a FAA study for the tower, for the crane that we'll have to use to work on the tower. We did that because it goes up above 200 feet, and the only requirement that the FAA put on us is that we have to lower the crane down below 200 feet at night.
And in terms of this particular location, were there any tall buildings or other structures in the area that you were looking at that could have accommodated the antennas rather than building a new tower?
No, there's no other tall structures in the area.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Bill, you want to go? Could you just state your name for the record, please?
William Panic.
And by whom are you employed?
I'm employed by Velocitel Inc., which is hired by AT&T.
And your firm is responsible for putting the site plans together for the site, correct?
That's correct.
And by trade, you are a civil engineer?
Civil engineer, yes.
Could you just briefly explain to the board the site itself and where the monopole would be located, the access, and the compound for the equipment?
Yeah, the compound itself will be a 40 by 80 fenced-in area. The monopole will be located directly towards the center of the compound itself. Once the pole is set, then there'll also be a 12 by 20 shelter for AT&T's equipment. The access road will come right off the driveway. It's a very short access road from the property owner's driveway into the site.
And in terms of the height of this particular tower, the zoning code requires that we have setbacks equal to a third of the height. Do we, in fact, meet that requirement?
Yes, we do.
And there will also be 6 foot tall fencing around the compound, is that correct?
6 foot with barbed wire around the top, yes.
And in terms of getting permits, et cetera, will we obtain all necessary federal and state permits and county permits locating this?
Yes, we will.
And in terms of the actual physical makeup of the tower, the code requires that it be such that it accommodate at least two other carriers. Will this be sufficient to
yes.
do that?
Yes, it will.
Thank you. One other question, I'm sorry. The code also requires lighting of the tower. Will the tower be lit?
Yes, FAA and also Sussex County rules and regulations. I think at 50, 100, 150, and at the top of the tower.
Okay, thank you.
Ms. Scott,
yes.
Your witness testified to the setbacks. I just noticed your November 4 letter mentioned a 50-foot setback.
Right.
Do you have 60?
We have 60, yes, sir.
Also, your witness asked about the barbed wire.
We're not going to have barbed wire on this.
Okay.
It'll just strictly be a 6-foot fence.
Okay, good.
How how close will the fence be to River Road?
This is... the fence, I'm not sure. The
fence
tower.
To the property
right.
line or to the road itself?
Oh, to the property line or...
Property line, it'll be, what do we got here? 207 feet.
So it's better than 200 feet setback from the road.
Yes.
And is that all wooded in front of, between the road and the site?
It's partially wooded.
Wooded around this area, and there's also some in this area.
We would be adding landscape buffers to the front.
And Catboat Alley is northeast of that?
Yes, I believe.
It's on the
Catboat
south.
Catboat Alley.
Catboat Alley is the name of the access road. It's actually kind of to the south.
That's the south side of it.
It's, yes, it's south of Catboat Alley.
South of Catboat Alley.
About how far? Is it directly between River's Edge Lane and Catboat Alley, or closer to Catboat Alley, or?
It's closer to Catboat Alley, but Catboat Alley is basically the driveway to the house.
Okay.
And it's, I don't have a measurement, but I would guess it's about 10 to 15 feet.
Gotcha.
So that's the access to the tower, Catboat Alley?
Catboat Alley is the access from River Road to the house on the property, and it's also the access.
To the site.
To get to the site.
Have you been back there, John? John, have you been back here?
I used to live.
Oh, boy, I went back in that.
Used to live further up River Road, I'm familiar with it.
Yeah.
This tower is to replace, or in place of, the Woodland Tower, is that correct?
To replace the wooden tower?
Woodland, the one that you had requested.
The one that we had, yes, the one that we had requested before, correct.
That was on the other side of the river, wasn't it?
No.
No?
Same side.
Same side, was it?
It's just closer to Woodland.
Right, okay.
Much closer to the ferry. Could you state your name for the record, please?
Andrew Peterson.
And by whom are you employed?
DBM Engineering PC. I'm here on behalf of AT&T Wireless.
And what is it that you do for?
I am
AT&T?
I'm a radio frequency design engineer. What we do is identify significant gaps in our network and attempt to remedy those by, in this case, proposing the construction of a new facility.
And what is it that we have in front of us in terms of your map?
What we have on the exhibit labeled existing reliable coverage is first a zoomed out area of the Laurel Seaford region on the western side of the county. In white, well, the black lines there are the roads. Here's 13, here's Woodland Ferry Road. The pie-shaped with circles in the middle icons indicate AT&T's on-air existing facilities. So you can see there's four of those that kind of make this zoom of where we're looking. The areas illustrated in green represent the geographical locations where today an AT&T subscriber has the signal strength adequate to make, maintain, and receive a call with a high likelihood of success with adequate voice quality. The white areas that you see are the exact opposite areas where an AT&T mobility subscriber wouldn't have that ability to rely on their wireless device.
And the area that we are looking to cover is shown where?
The area is along Woodland Ferry Road here to the state border west of 13. Our Laurel site here would be the next, the closest neighbor along Woodland Ferry Road as you head east. So the main objective here of the proposed facility was to cover this expansive white area along Woodland Ferry Road and into the state of Maryland to facilitate a subscriber actually, you know, driving along that road and then being able to hand off to the next site, which would be Laurel.
And how was it that you determined the location that was necessary to be able to cover that gap?
Using an industry standard propagation modeling tool, and that is what this is the output of. The existing coverage is an output of that tool. We can run what-if scenarios and determine, you know, at location X, at height Y, exactly the coverage, within a reasonable margin of error, what the coverage is we could expect from a proposed facility. Similarly, you can do that with the existing on-air facilities. But in order to do that with the hypothetical location, you need a predictive modeling tool, and that's what we use. The results of that study are my next revision. With the tower constructed as proposed, with the antenna center line height at 180 feet above ground level, you see that we are now meeting our primary coverage objective, which is filling in, for the most part, the design coverage objective area. We are just bridging that gap to be able to hand off to the Laurel site to the east. And this site is adequate in meeting our design goal for this area.
Is it only possible to achieve that goal with a 180-foot-tall tower?
That's correct. 180 feet in this case is the minimum required in order to achieve the goal. As you can see along Woodland Ferry Road here, we do have some white spots. I wouldn't call this spotty coverage, but we do have, you know, some white spots there. Anything less than 180 feet will serve to exaggerate those white spots, and you know, it becomes a game of probability. And we would like to have this blanketed in green here, but at 180 feet, we feel confident that we will be able to serve the subscriber successfully through that area. Whereas when we start coming down from there and opening these small gaps, they now become larger gaps, and the probability of a drop call or an attempt of the user to access the network failing, those probabilities then increase.
Green area is 95 plus dB gain signal.
Green is -85 dBm or better. That's an industry standard threshold that's measured on the street. So in order to penetrate the loss of a vehicle and still have a buffer there for, you know, the tractor trailer pulling up next to you or whatever, you know, you being shattered by the large tree instantaneously, you need a little bit of a buffer there. So that is the industry standard design threshold for in-car coverage. And so that's what everything that we do is run to, -85 dBm.
And the goal being, again, that this would be able to hand off to any of the other sites depending upon where you were traveling?
Right. Specifically in this case, the goal was Woodland Ferry Road, that corridor, and then out to the state border. And this is the minimum height required in order to achieve that goal. Anything less than, like I said, these gaps begin to open up to an unacceptable level.
And as Tom indicated, and I guess you can confirm, there weren't any other structures of sufficient height within a 2-mile radius that would accommodate our needs. Is that correct?
That's correct. There's simply nothing out there of adequate height.
With respect to this particular site, we also did do a study of the health effects of the emissions from the tower, the antennas, is that correct?
Yes, we did.
And did the report conclude that we, in fact, met the federal requirements for emissions?
In this specific instance, we're on the order of 1,000 times below the FCC threshold for radio frequency emissions. So in any location of public access surrounding this facility, no matter how close, anyone there would only be exposed to radio frequency emissions levels that were around 1,000 times below the limit set forth by the FCC and the other governing bodies to be safe for human exposure. So there's absolutely no concern from that perspective.
Okay. And if, in fact, we did not obtain approval for that particular site, what would happen in terms of people driving along Woodlawn Road in terms of their signal capabilities?
The situation that exists there today would remain, and that is, you know, just an unreliable network in that area.
Do you have anything else?
Thank you.
I'm also submitting to Mr. Rippert a petition of signatures in support of the application. I believe there's 274 signatures. In addition to that, I wanted to submit some recent statistics. As you know, we the state actually keeps track of 911 calls through cellular telephones, and I'm submitting to you the information received from the state in terms of Sussex County, which will show that at this point in time, about 70% of the 911 calls are made actually from cell phones. Thus, the importance of for both us and our customers of being able to make sure that we can provide reliable coverage in the area.
There's 274 signatures. Approximately how many are local property owners?
There's no real way of knowing exactly how many, but probably pretty much a majority.
But the, are they, what area would you suggest?
They're Sussex County.
All Sussex County?
Sussex County signatures, yes.
So it could be Lewis and Rehoboth, or?
Could be.
From what I'm looking at here, John, I see Seaford, Frankfurt, Seaford, Bridgeville, Seaford, Greenwood, Dagsburg, give you some idea. Selbyville. Yeah, another one.
Who did that when I got the signatures?
Various people that have helped me, the property owner got a lot of signatures for me, and then other people.
But it is, went anywhere to get signatures for that, in other words?
Sussex County.
Sussex County.
Anywhere in Sussex.
Do you specifically solicit signatures from the local property owners?
Yes, the local property owner helped me out with local signatures, and then I got other signatures from other people who use AT&T cell phones.
That concludes our presentation. Just wanted to reiterate that with respect to our application, we do meet the requirements of the zoning code. We also, I believe, have shown you that we have a significant gap in our coverage in this particular area of the county. And in order to meet our requirements of our FCC license to provide reliable coverage in the area, we need to have, in fact, this site on air to connect to our other sites. Thank you very much.
Are there any questions from members of the board for Mr. Scott?
No.
Mr. Rick, are you going to be passing that down?
Yeah, I'm looking it over myself here for a minute. Okay.
274. Do you have any? I'll wait till I call for it then.
Percentage of 911 calls. Look at those in the box. All of our country. That's been a long time. Keep the copy.
Jay, when, so if I get one.
Don't call.
What'd you get, when did you get one?
Pardon me?
Did you get one for the record?
Yeah.
I'll get one tomorrow.
Even though they're in their houses, they'll call them on cell phone, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm, they're good.
Other than these signatures, there's a couple of developments right close by, Holly Shores, I believe, and there's one development directly across. Did you get any letters or anything specifically from those folks?
No, I didn't.
Gentlemen, just for the record, I only recognize one address in close proximity, and that would be from Holly Shores.
You didn't recognize any?
I only recognize one.
One.
And out of all these, from Holly Shores. And that would be... Tidewater Drive, which is in Holly Shores.
Okay, are there any further questions from members of the board? Mr. Wortman?
No.
Mr. Tretton?
No.
Mr. Mills?
No.
Okay, hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? One. Okay. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? There's one. Two. Okay. Would you like to come up and speak, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. You need to be sworn in. Sir, do you wish to speak? The other gentleman in the back? And that's in opposition?
That name is speaking.
Well, I was going to swear you both at the same time, so to save time, if you would like to.
Mark Hardesty, P.O. Box 357. Seaford, Delaware, 19973.
Okay, let's get this gentleman mind. Name and address.
David L. Smith, 8111 Airport Road, Laurel, Delaware.
Okay, both of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give should be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
I do.
Okay.
If I can borrow the presentation, these will be, I couldn't see it.
The notice that I got at this public hearing did not did not mention the tax parcel number. I believe we're talking about parcel 132-5, parcel 5. Is that where this is?
Map 5.
Map 5, I'm sorry. Parcel 5, correct?
Parcel 5.
Yeah,
parcel
okay.
5. Yes, sir.
If I can orient myself here for a second. This parcel, I believe, was represented as being 18 acres. It's shown on the tax map as 5.95. And with these, they go all the way out into the Nanticoke. So actually, buildable land, it's a lot less. You get into wetlands and sub-Aquarius properties. I own the property right next door. I have 1.9 acres. My property is 77 foot wide. This property is 295 feet wide. It could not be subdivided as it is. Basically, it is a lot in an AR1 district. And I have to apologize because my next door neighbor actually owns this. AT&T does not own the property. Apparently, they've worked out some kind of lease, and I have to like my next door neighbor, Mr. Livingston, who actually owns this property. But I've got to protect my interests, and I don't think that much as the first site, this is even a worse site. And I'm surprised that the first site that AT&T proposed, it was on Woodland Ferry Road. This isn't on Woodland Ferry Road, and that's where they're looking for their coverage. Woodland Ferry Road is over 2 miles long till you get to the light at Bethel Road. This is a 180-foot tower they're proposing with lighting. The tallest tree in the area is 60 foot. My property has riprap on it. It has a 77-foot pier and a 25-foot dock with a boat lift. It has a single-family house on it. I plan on building my dream house there, so there's no way that I can even envision that the board would approve this. But we're talking about a 295-foot property here. It has an entrance to the property, which it shows on a tax map as Catboat Alley. It's I apologize. I had to leave my cell phone on. I've got a brother having an operation right now as we speak in Florida, so I'm not very prepared. To make a long story short, this property is 295 foot wide. There is an alley, a road. It's an entrance to a single family property. It just happens to show up on the tax map. I actually own this is my property in my name. Actually own two more properties within 1,500 feet of this particular site. We're talking about a 40 by 80 compound with auxiliary trailers to hold equipment. We're talking about AT&T is proposing their equipment, which they say is within 1,000 times less than the minimal radiation is permitted, or microwave. But they're also going to lease this tower out to other carriers. I talked to a few people that install these things. This thing's going to have a 30-foot deep base to support a 180-foot tower. Who will own the tower is not proposed. Is it going to revert back to the property owner who's in his 70s, who, you know, generally these leases are 30-year leases, so a lot of times they just lease it, and then who has to take the tower down when they're done with it? When we're using satellite phones or something, this thing will be around forever. So I don't know of any provisions for dismantling the tower. Is this the only place that this thing could go? It's there's lots of land around there. Obviously, they did not go to local people that live in close proximity. You've got a lot of very high-end, expensive homes that I'm sure didn't fall within the public notice requirements to be sent individually. And if you read the letter that I got, it doesn't even mention the parcel number. There's Rivers End, I'm sorry, Holly Shores. Has a lot of very expensive homes. A lot of them are waterfront homes. There's at least one $3 million home in that development. There's other properties down here. All these are waterfront properties with the exception of this one. I'm not sure that they received notice that this was going to happen. But what you've got is you've got a 295-foot lot that they want to put a tower right in the middle of it, right in front of this man's house who actually faces the water. That's what they're proposing. I don't know where the 18 acres came in that was represented, but as far as I know, it's 5.95 acres, and quite a bit of that land is actually in the Nanticoke River, so it's not buildable land. Like I say, that road is over 2 miles long that they're proposing, and there's lots of farmlands. Within a mile and a half, there's a salvage yard that they could put this thing on. I'm sure that the people there would love to have it there, but not on River Road, not in where I'm right next to where I'm going to have my dream home. I mean, you're talking from my lot to one where their barbed wire fence compound is going to be is less than 150 feet.
That's your lot on that side? To
yes, sir.
On this side of it?
My lot right here. They cut it off. My lot's right here. It says Lands, Mark S. Hardesty. I have parcel 6. This is parcel 5. And as I repeat, this is not 18 acres. It's 5.95 acres. Part of it's in the Nanticoke. So I would hope that the board would consider that there are a lot of areas. I know the cell phone reception out there is bad. I've just sold 2 properties in that area. But to put this cell phone tower on a residential AR1 lot that can't be subdivided, that's not 18 acres, that's less than 6 acres and part of it being in Nanticoke, it makes no sense. I mean, I'm just even surprised at AT&T with all their wisdom. But to get 270 people in support of this that live in Dagsboro, and you have one that lives in a nearby development, that just goes to show you, they know that people really don't want this thing. But
were you contacted by the owner or AT&T?
No, I was not. No.
Are you aware of anyone in the area that was?
Not that I'm aware of. I think they would be here. How can I ask the board how far they have to send? What radius?
200 feet.
200 feet. So there's only 2 or 3 property owners. But like I say, this is...
It's advertised in the papers, so...
I understand, sir. But I just hope that the board realizes that this is not what it's being represented in. There's lots of farmland around that this thing would support, but to put it on a less than 6 acre residential lot that's 295 feet, it makes no sense. And I've got a terrific investment right next door. And I like my neighbor, but I don't want AT&T as my neighbor.
I think if they're going to do something like this, they need to send property owners all up and down that road and have every one of them sign the paper. I mean, him and I own together, we own 18 acres we could develop any time. Is it going to be worth the same money it would if you've got this tower here?
Well,
I mean, it's... And I think everybody that owns property anywhere near that tower should have to sign.
Your property of 18 acres is your... It's
by Patrick's Pond.
Pardon me?
It's by Patrick's Pond. There's one lot on Patrick's Pond, and all that behind there used to be the King Farm.
Right. In relationship to this parcel, where is it?
It's within, it was within 1,500 feet.
Is that near the old mill area?
Yes. Right. It's right, we actually own one lot on Patrick, right on Patrick's Pond. The other parcel we own is under our LLC, Shat LLC. It's parcel 1-32, map 10, 33.03. That's an 18-acre parcel that borders up next to the state wildlife area. My property also borders up the state wildlife area here. But you're talking about a 180-foot tower. You're not talking about a little compound. You're talking about a little compound and a tower.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay, gentlemen.
I have a question for the applicant.
Mr. Scott, thank you.
I believe I recall that in your initial request for woodland, there were some other possibilities, including the state property.
I'd have to defer to Tom. I don't recall any state property.
Senator Venables, I believe, had suggested that the state might have some property to locate on.
The state property was too far away. It wouldn't work with our system.
Isn't it right across us to the road?
No, it was a mile. It was over a mile away from the previous site that we looked at.
What about some of these other larger parcels? There's a 364-acre parcel, 60-acre parcel. Have you checked with all those as well?
I didn't check with everybody in the area. We have a situation here where I can't go out and solicit everybody. It's something that's against the law. So what I do is I send out like one letter at a time, and until when I find somebody whose property qualifies, I go with it.
You have a particular search area that you have to look within, is that correct?
Yes, I do.
That has been determined to be an area where if you could locate something, it would work to
RF,
fill the gap.
The radio frequency engineers study the area and give me some idea of where to look for a property. And then I go out and I try to find something.
What is your response to Mr. Hardesty's claim that it's only 5.95 acres?
Well, that's the size of the property, yes.
But
that size property qualifies.
I probably misspoke when I said 18 acres.
Okay, the application says 18.2.
Right. Yeah. I may have misspoke, but we do meet all the requirements of the code in terms of setbacks. There is... we meet the requirement in terms of minimum lot size, so, and the code clearly allows these towers in the zoning district.
Ms. Scott, what arrangements are made with respect to ownership of the tower and in the event of a transfer of the property and so forth?
Well, the tower is owned by AT&T. And the property is owned by the current property owner, and we lease the space for the tower. And normally our leases are for 5 years with four or five-year options to extend the term. If, in fact, something were to happen and we were no longer using the tower, your code requires that it be removed within a certain time frame, which would be our responsibility, which is also covered in the lease agreement.
Ma'am, is that just removing the tower or taking the cement and everything out completely? Everything out of the ground, the cement and everything has been poured into the ground?
Yes, you'd have to remove the tower, the equipment, shelters. I heard the gentleman refer to trailers. We don't have any trailers on site. There are small equipment, shelters, the fencing, et cetera. That's all of AT&T's property.
Be just back as it was?
Correct.
Fill it back in and everything?
Yes. Yes. Correct. I just wanted to clarify two points if I could.
Sure.
I heard concern expressed about impact on property values, but I didn't see any evidence that there was any impact. I think we've mentioned several times before when we've been here, we have done extensive studies in that the impact of towers on property values, and there has been no impact. And I can provide you with another copy of the report that we had prepared previously with respect to this. The gentleman also indicated or admitted that there is, in fact, a problem with reception in the area. And we know that because we've been working in this area for probably 2 years trying to find an appropriate site. When we were here before, we thought we had an appropriate site, except where there were some issues with historical property and the Woodland Ferry. But again, your code anticipates that we be able to put these towers on this type of zoned property, as long as you meet the requirements in terms of setback and minimum lot size, and you light the tower as required. I would submit to you that you haven't heard any evidence that what we're doing is having any detrimental impact on adjoining property owners. So provide this to
you. How far are you from the river, that tower? No?
Do
river. You know how far you are from the river?
More than 1,000 feet.
It would appear by the tax map that it would be less than 1,000.
592 feet.
What was it?
992 feet.
How far from the property line to the right did you say?
Over here?
Yes.
And they said it was just off.
We are 65 feet to the property line.
So it would be 65, did you say 65 feet from Mr. Hardesty's property line?
Correct. Yeah. Again, that exceeds the requirement of the code.
I'll take one more question, Mr. Hardesty. And this will be it.
I've bought and sold real estate for over 25 years in this county. I was a real estate agent for 9 years, and I trained real estate agents at Delaware Tech. I've done lots of appraisals. This will have a detrimental effect in the property value of my adjoining property to have a 180-foot tower with lights on it with a fenced-in compound. And I'm sorry if I mentioned that they were trailers, but they're pre-assembled units that come in on a trailer. And I just called them trailers. You can call them containers or whatever you want to. I have a store in Rehoboth that they have one out in front of. But that's a commercial area, and this is a AR1 residential area, not a farm. It's definitely going to have a detrimental effect on my property value, without a doubt. And I don't think anybody would want just spend $400,000 or $500,000 like I'm going to do this spring on a house and have a 180-foot tower right next door. I mean, I've already spent over $300,000 on this 1.9 acres on the Nanticoke River, on one of the prettiest spots on the Nanticoke River.
Mr. Hardesty, is there any way you can get from real estate end of it proof showing that it does hurt the real estate value of having a tower there, so you can bring it to the board so we can see that in Sussex County? I mean,
do you mean evidence of where other towers have gone in, or particularly real estate appraisers with appraising my property where they believe that? I mean, if they need another site for this, they just said that they just sent out a letter, and whoever bit at, they send out one letter at a time to property owners was what was represented under sworn testimony, and whoever bites at it, then they look at that property, and if that sticks, it sticks. Instead of doing a study with using their RAF factors and figuring out where the exact best place would and find a property that would be more suitable for that, that would not affect adjoining property values, that to me would be the way to do it. When I go to buy a property, I do a lot more research than AT&T has in this case. I own over 30 properties in this county, and I'll tell you, this is a travesty for them to propose this, and I'm not from King of Prussia. I'm born and raised in Seaford, Delaware.
I don't know if you had anything. She said she got information showing it's not hurting the value of the ground, room and rental.
I hope it's better information than the property owners you have that supported this. But I will definitely get you something. Yes, sir.
I'd like to see that from Sussex.
I'll get you an appraisal too. I'll pay the money because it's worth it to me. I'll get an appraisal on my property now, and I'll get appraisal after, with a proposed tower there, and let you see the difference.
That was showing how it's going to affect Sussex County then. We had something like that.
Yeah, well, I just think that there's other properties suitable. To say that this falls within the zoning for, it's kind of like eminent domain, but there are lots of other properties that are more suitable for this. I think this is just, it's ludicrous to me, but I'm sure the Sturgises and different people, I'm sure you don't have any letters from them because they didn't get notified of this. The Schaefers have, probably $1 million property on the water that's real close. But this thing's going to be within 60 feet of my property, 180-foot tower. It's not going to look like a Christmas tree. It's going to look like a big pole that goes up with lights blinking on it all night long. But they're not going to put barbed wire on top of the fence. Thank you.
Yes,
sir. I'm sorry I'm so emphatic, but
no.
This brings out a lot of emotions in me. It's where I plan on dying, and the property owner is up in age. He's got about 20 years on me, but this is, I've got hopefully 30 years to live in this house when I build it. So,
okay.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Ooh, okay.
Can I offer one more thing to the board, please, because of
all right, this be, this be the last one, Mr. Scott.
There seems to be some thought that there are hundreds of properties where we could locate this tower, and why did we just pick this one out of all the places we could go? And I wanted Andrew to make very clear where it was that we had to be in order to cover our gap in coverage. Go ahead, Andrew.
Because the gap is so expansive, as I talked to earlier, and it stretches from 13 to the state line, basically centered on the Nanticoke River, we need to locate a facility central to that gap so as to most efficiently serve that gap. You know, as soon as you move the facility significantly to the east or west, the coverage footprint moves along with it, for the most part. So what we're left with is a search ring, as we deem it, of it's basically a geographical area that we circle as an RF engineer and say, if we build something in this location with some flexibility in the height, you know, depending on exactly where it is, it will serve our need. And in this case, because it is a big area centered on the Nanticoke, we need to be near the Nanticoke. Basically, the intersection of Woodland Ferry Road, you know, where the ferry crosses and the river is the center point to this gap. And in order to stay central to that gap, we can only really deviate from that location by a half to three quarters of a mile in any direction. So that significantly brings the number of properties that meet the criteria, you know, for acceptable property under the code down. The notion that any old property, you know, along Woodland Ferry Road would work for our need, it's simply untrue. And in fact, what would happen if we built a property significantly, let's say, to the east along Woodland Ferry and closer to Laurel, we would end up, you know, with the need to build another facility on the other side, the westerly side of the river. And, you know, there's always going to be an adjoining property owner on that side. And now you have two property owners or two sets of property owners that are adjoining. So, you know, from a network design perspective, it is the most efficient way to solve these one-site problems is with a single site central to the gap. And that's the design of, or the goal of the design engineer.
I had inquired about the other possible locations. How far from the Woodland, the original Woodland location that you were considering to this is that, and I understand that it's, You're working with about a 2 to 3 mile radius.
I think we're about three quarters of a mile from the original location to this. And at this point, we're really pushing the envelope on a suitable location.
I understand.
And still being able to solve our need. As you saw from the prior study that I brought up as the exhibit, we are just, you know, marginally, we're on the good side of marginally covering Woodland Ferry Road as you head east. But any more deviation from our and we could potentially sacrifice that. We can't do that.
And the reason I asked the question directly across the road and actually could be closer to the ferry is a 300 plus acre parcel, and then between this location and the Woodland Ferry, there's a 59.05 acre parcel. So I was curious as to whether or not those parcels had been considered,
Well, as we move closer to the ferry, we're then subject to the restrictions of the Historical Preservation Society. So, you know, we need to balance that with the need to stay somewhat proximate to it. So we can't be, as you said, there may be some larger parcels closer to the Woodland Ferry. But then, of course, we have the other, you know, the other issue to contend with. So
I'm talking about less than a tenth of a mile.
Okay, yeah, I'm definitely not the right representative to be talking to the historical preservation issues, but I do know it exists.
Sir, I mean, with the Woodland Ferry and all the controversy you had over this, you're looking, think about putting two of them up and just bringing it off. I mean, it's going to cost you more money, but you're going to get the coverage finally. Drop it down to 150 feet or 160 feet and put two of them up. We get the same kind of coverage then?
Well, coverage is only part of the equation here. As soon as we start solving a single site solution with more than one site, you inherently create an unnecessarily overlapping network.
So you get too much.
Right, you have too much overlap, and what that does is it kills the capacity of the system. And it's not noticeable, if you're the only subscriber on the system and it's midnight, but, when we get into the busy hours and the network becomes loaded, that makes a substantial impact to the capacity of the overall network.
So you have problems by getting them too close together.
Right, right.
Okay.
What we want, and you can see in the exhibit I have up, is a nice grid of sites, somewhat evenly spaced. You know, in a perfect textbook world, you could have them perfectly evenly spaced on flat terrain, and they would each cover the same amount of ground. But we all know the realities of zoning and leasing, it's impossible. So what we do is attempt to create that grid as closely as possible. And as soon as you start placing them too closely together, it causes network trouble from other perspectives other than just pure coverage.
Thank you.
That's all the opposition. This time, Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd make a motion that we leave the public record open for both parties to submit information as to effect on property values.
For a period of
4 weeks. To our January
12th.
Is it 19th or 12th?
12th.
12th meeting.
January 12th
meeting.
Okay. All right. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
Yeah, I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Hudson. Excuse me, that we leave case number 10,319 open for the sole purpose to allow both parties to submit ample paperwork on the effect that we'll have on the properties.
And the actual public hearing portion would be closed, but allow written submission.
The actual hearing will be closed, but we'll accept written, paperwork. Okay, all those in favor, I have a second to that motion. Okay, all those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay, motion to be carried. The board's going to stand recess. And now call the meeting back to order, please.